Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Words from the Word. I am your host, Colette, Overseer Colette, and I am so glad you have joined our Friday Fellowship of Learners. Praise the Lord. Glorious morning today to you. We'll get some music going so that we can prepare ourselves for the study. An old school song. Oh.
Thank you.
Well, hallelujah. It is an honor. It is a privilege. And it is a blessing to be in the presence of the King. That is the mindset that we want to embrace this morning in honoring the King of Glory and honoring the Lord God of hosts as we go through our powerful prayers for a supernatural result. Our mindset has to be in His presence and in the elements of that which happens in His presence. And as we're looking at the different superheroes from the Bible and the prayers that they prayed that got supernatural results from God, because He heard them, but He more than heard them, He saw where they were. He saw them. Our name of God for this month is El Roi, the God who sees me. So He sees where we are. He regarded these saints' prayers to the point of moving Him to release His power in the earth realm. And so as we honor the presence of the Lord, we acknowledge the God Almighty, then we are putting ourselves in a position to be heard by the eternal God. One thing I love about these particular prayers that the author is looking at is the fact that they're so rich in the names of God. You can't hardly go three lines without coming into a name of God. And since we've been in a season where God wanted us to understand what that means, I believe that that study and the study we're currently in is preparation for supernatural results, because these prayers were prayed in the knowledge of a name of God, or a name of God that the Lord was releasing into the earth realm through their acknowledging Him. And so we look at the prayer of Moses, the prayer of Hannah, and the first prayer of Solomon. And it's interesting because from some of these prayers, issued from the prayers, songs of worship and praise. Another element that becomes present when we receive these supernatural results from heaven. And I believe that they're hand in hand with the results themselves, that praise and that worship is getting the attention of the Almighty God. And so in the second prayer of Solomon, which we're looking at today, and the point starting at point 3, but we will just read the initial prayer from 2 Chronicles 6 and 14. Lord God of Israel, there you go, there's that name. Actually, there's two names right there. Lord, which is Yahweh, because when L-O-R-D is capitalized, it is speaking of the Lord whose name they were afraid to say. That was Yahweh. It's also Adonai. And then it's the God of Israel. That's the God who has introduced Himself, and He has displayed His power on behalf of the children of Israel. So this is the God He's talking about, the God that is so holy and reverent that they won't say His name, and they call Him Lord. And then it's the God of Israel, the one who's made Himself known to a world on behalf of the children of Israel. So he starts to pray, Lord God of Israel. And, you know, I keep can't get past this, just these names of God. And when Christ, the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray, the first thing he said was, you start with our Father. There, that is a name that Christ knew the disciples were going to need to pull from, that nature of God as their Father, their protector, their provider, the one that loved them. And they were going to have that understanding of him as their Father. And then he further clarified it. He said, hallowed be thy name. So not the name of the fathers that we in on the natural realm have been used to or been exposed to, but this is a Father that is hallowed, to be hallowed. This is a holy, this is a sacred name for Father. And so all of that prepares the prayer for the position they should take as they approach the God of glory. So he says, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you. You keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. Then he went from acknowledging this awesome position that God has, and then he connected himself to it by saying he was in covenant. Lord, you're in covenant with me. And so he understood the position he was taking when he approached the throne of God. And then he reminded God of his promise. And then he declared the attribute of mercy that was attached to his understanding of God on behalf of himself. And then he acknowledged how he should be. Now, this is the attribute that I should have, that I walk before you with all my heart. And so that's all in that prayer, just immediately receive the attention from heaven that he was seeking. And so we see with these prayers, and what follows after that is, what follows after that is supernatural, actually. It is amazing. It is awesome, the things that we receive when we know who he is, what he's done, who we are, and his covenant promise to us. So these are things that Solomon had to have an understanding of. He had to have a knowledge of. He had to have experience in and teaching relating to it, teaching through the life of his father, through the life of the children of Israel as they, in obedience, they exercised the laws that God had given them to honor the Sabbath, to have their feast days and their solemn assemblies and their sacrifices. And all of these things they were aware of. He was aware of, and he was taught these things through his environment. And so we have to often realize that part of our preparation for the generations to come is how we exercise and acknowledge the ways of heaven, the holy requirements that are placed upon us through the Word of God, through the leadership of the saints, and through our association with others who are walking and honoring the Word of God. So It says there's a scripture that says bad company will destroy good morals in a person, because it's your who you associate yourself with that helps to establish and to fortify your beliefs and your behaviors and your understanding of things. And as Solomon, the first thing, one of the things the author shared was he was greatly influenced by the prophet Nathan. And we understand Nathan was the one who brought to King David his indiscretion, his sin. And so these are things that cause us to understand, even when we are rebuked publicly, it can be a blessing and a lesson to those around us, so that first of all they understand that holiness, remember, hallowed be thy name, holy is the God that we serve, the God that we represent, the God that we're honoring, and that name is holy. And also it lets us understand and get a glimpse of what the sure mercy of God looks like. So Solomon was able to see the sure mercies of God only because he was exposed to the sure weaknesses of man and man's flesh. And that's something that gives a person hope when they realize, I may have done this, but God is a God of mercy, and I have but to reach out to him, know him, and seek him, and cry unto him, and he will hear. And so as we look at the points that came before the one, the first point was that Solomon declared the uniqueness of the God of Israel. And to declare it, as I said, he had to have known it, seen it, and believed it. There's no man-made deity on earth can be compared to him or offer. And that mercies that are sure of
Overseer, we can't hear you. You're breaking up. Overseer?
Well, I think we might have lost her. I can't hear.
It looks like the call is still connected.
Oh, it is.
But yeah, I'm with you. I can't hear her as well.
First, it started breaking up a lot. Then she ain't saying it. I got Minister Hearns on the phone, so I don't want to disconnect and lose her.
Yeah.
I'm getting her name, I'm sorry. Pastor, I mean, Elder Death.
I just sent a text message.
Oh, okay. Good.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Roberta.
Well, good morning, ladies, while we're waiting.
Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Elder. You know what? And that's just the enemy. My phone is sitting here, and it just hung up. So you didn't lose me. I am yet here. In fact, I was yet talking. Amen.
We have nothing to say for a while, so it started cracking.
Yeah.
Then we stopped hearing you at all.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. You know, in a
thank
world
God.
That
We're really living in a world that we don't have control over, but God does. God does.
Amen.
I thank you for it. And you know what? The spirit will move, and if you study, just keep talking, okay? I'm coming.
And then someone on the other line, I sure didn't want her to get lost, so we stayed on. Thank God.
Amen, amen. So, Elder Delbert, what were you sharing?
No, I was just sharing that. I was just saying good morning since we couldn't hear you. We were just talking among ourselves, just greeting each other among ourselves because nobody wanted to disconnect the line in case,
you
like you said,
back.
Your phone was still on and we just couldn't hear you. So we were just greeting each other.
Amen, amen. And you know what? That's one. This is our Friday fellowship, and so we should fellowship one with another. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We were in the midst of just sharing the fact that we're talking about his son Solomon, was acknowledging all of these powerful names of God in his prayer. And as a result, that supernatural promises and the manifestation of God was released to him. And so we looked at the first point where he shared the uniqueness of God, of Israel, how no one is like him. He shared the fact that he knew the covenant and the mercies of God. And shared how we talked about even the nine covenants. And I wonder, did anybody look up the nine covenants? Anybody share with us those nine covenants?
I don't know any of them.
Amen.
But I didn't write them all down.
Okay.
I remember Noah, Abraham, Hagar.
David covenant. Yeah, Moses, David.
I didn't realize that Hagar had a covenant with him, but that was five. Now we know the covenant with Jesus. I'm lost.
Oh no, I
can't remember them last four, but I know with the six would be with the covenant with us with Jesus, but I know it was some more in there. So help me out, team.
What I think is interesting about these covenants, and I don't know so much about the covenant with Hannah, even though all told there's almost 18 covenants. So we're talking about nine major covenants. And so the first one was the Adamic covenant. That's the covenant from the Garden of Eden. And I don't know if you remember when he said, basically what that is. And then the Adamic covenant that Adam failed, but he's going to fix that too. And, and then the covenant with Noah, which was a covenant to the earth, not necessarily a person, but the earth in general, all of God's creation, he made a covenant with as it related to the rainbow and never destroying it again. So we see some very covenants from creation, covenants to, and I don't want to say a nation, but to mankind, and the Adamic covenant is to all of mankind. And then the Abrahamic covenant was to a chosen group of people, okay? And so was the Mosaic covenant, and then the Promised Land covenant, and then the covenant he made with David. And then there's the new covenant he made with us, and then the everlasting covenant. And so these are all things that we really need to understand because they are God's commitment to us. So when we pray for our neighborhood, let's just say, then we're praying under the Adamic covenant that men will be saved, that they have an answer, they will have a hope. Because Jesus will come. When we're praying for just, you know, the environment or the storms or the different hurricanes and things that come as such a destructive thing, you know, we're praying under the covenant he has given all of his creation. And he is faithful to it. And then it's just interesting, the covenant he made with Noah as regards to the earth, some people look at what's going on all around us and really wonder, where is God? But he remembers his covenant. He remembers what he has promised. And these things are the things that we have to know in order to depend on, in order to pray them, and in order to honor him for them, believing them. And we know the new covenant, you know, that's in the blood of Jesus Christ, and in the everlasting covenant that's our hope in heaven, that we will, you know, be with him. And so these are things that as we beseech the Lord, we have to have a foundation in who he is and what he is saying. That's just like you going to someone and asking for something, and they look at you and they say, well, now, you know, I shared with you about actually your boss, say your boss, for instance. And they, you go to the boss and, you know, you ask for a mask. Okay. Well, that's a bad example because they didn't have them, but whatever. But you're asking your boss for something without a knowledge of what he's already provided for you, okay? And so, your boss will look at you like, well, you know, you don't know very much about your position and your job if you didn't know, you know, what that thing was you were asking for was already provided for you. And so that's some of the things that we have. That's praying amiss. That's praying amiss because we really miss the things that we're in possession for and how we have to regard God in order to be good stewards over them and to communicate with him. And so to know him is to believe it. In order to declare it, one of the things that we're doing in the month of May, we're doing in June, is these declarations. We're declaring some promises. We have to know what he has said, who he is, and what he has said in order to, I don't know what my computer is doing, people. Okay. All right. So we have gotten to the point where we're at the second point, a power point of his prayer. He first proclaimed the uniqueness of God, and then he proclaimed the exceptional greatness of God and how small his abilities and efforts are in comparison to God. He humbled himself under the Lord. The Lord, my God, which he says in the prayer from 2 Chronicles 16 through 20, when he says, yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication. O Lord, my God. So he's calling again on that Yahweh God who has performed and shown himself to be faithful and true to the children of Israel. His name is so holy. He is humbling himself under the exceptional greatness that he knows that God is. He's acknowledging it, and he is proclaiming and declaring it. And then he is giving him his own self, surrendering his own self under that greatness of God. I am small, and my abilities and my efforts are so minuscule. And yet we're talking about Solomon, who had really obtained too many things. But just as Paul said, he counts it all dumb, you know, when it relates and when it stands and when it's presented to God. Everything he has given to God. So Solomon knew it, He believed it and he remembered it. And sometimes we do forget. Prayer and our communication, what comes out of our mouth, helps to fortify what's in our heart so that that which we say becomes a discipline that becomes us. So we are talking about Yahweh's name. That's part in the PowerPoint 3. The author shares that Solomon acknowledges that the temple is not great within itself. Rather, it is a mere building made with hands, insignificant compared to how big God is. And remember, if he's talking about this fine, amazing structure that was phenomenal in the earth realm during that time, gold inlaid and fine art and craving, that's what they are. And this magnificent edifice he's dedicating to God, and he's saying, you know, this is insignificant. He wasn't lifted up. He said the temple is great only because it is a place in which to hallow God's name. For this reason, Solomon requested that God's eyes and ears be attentive to the prayers that were prayed there. So we're declaring that God's exceptional greatness and our own inabilities in comparison to him. And we remind God that our heart is his new covenant temple. And that's us. That his name is enshrined there. In other words, it is honored there. It is reverenced there. It is placed there. And we ask that God's ears and eyes be set on it. And when Solomon prayed this prayer, it became the baseline for the children of Israel. Three times a day, they prayed towards that temple because that's how powerful an understanding they had of God's covenant with them, that God would hear them. So for their prayers to be acknowledged, they, and remember even with Daniel, he had to open the window, even if it was just at all in that country at that time to anybody but that king. He opened his window so that his prayer would go towards that sanctuary. And that's by opening our heart to God as the temple that we desire him to dwell in, being ourselves, is always going to be pointing to him, acknowledging him, and communicating with him based on that which was established. That which has been established, and Christ established it for us. So PowerPoint number 4. And if anybody, you have these, you've read and you studied, he's given you insight from these PowerPoints, particularly of how to incorporate them in our understanding of powerful prayers and our understanding of the elements that need to be involved in our communication with God and how that is related to the prayers in this, of the saints. So if you have anything, just jump right in. Remember, there's like that 5-second delay, and so you're not interrupting. You just, you know, just jump right in there, and it is fine. It is fine. Amen.
Hi,
Amen.
Overseer. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just want to ask, PowerPoints be emailed to us, or just listen to the broadcast and try to write it?
The PowerPoints are in the book. So we're sharing the book, and as a result, which is why I try to read most of it for those of you who do not have it, but no, because there are many PowerPoints, okay? Yeah, you kind of have to take notes. I don't know if somebody want to give some insight of how this can work.
I just listened. Yeah. I don't want you to slow down. You, It's good. Thank you.
Okay. Point number four is to acknowledge the need for forgiveness and exhibit faith for it is an essential element and attitude of our heart. So we have talked to acknowledge his uniqueness, to acknowledge and surrender our understanding of who he is and our position under him, and then to acknowledge our need for forgiveness. Well, part of the prayer we're looking at now is 2 Corinthians 6:21. It says, hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. The highest acknowledgement of God was when he said, hear from your dwelling place in heaven. That's lifting God's name and honoring him in the highest form. You're sitting in your position on your throne in heaven. And when you hear the prayers prayed towards this place, from this place, then forgive. So he knew that they would need forgiveness. And he knew that that had to be what his heart understood, with the faith that knew God would forgive, but the fact that we have sinned and we have fallen short. And as we come in his presence, when we call on that hallowed name, we would need him not to hide his face from our sins and to blot out iniquity, so that we could come before his presence. It was compared, you know, when they blotted out something, and then we don't see that because we weren't in their culture, or even 100 years ago, anyway, people wrote with ink, literal ink, and so they would use a blotter to soak up the ink off the paper so that the error no longer existed. We call it whiteout or ink eradicator, but it said when you blot it out, you know, it no longer exists as far as God is concerned. And it's that I love it when he used the comparison. It is to deleting something on your computer, delete it, but now emptying the trash from your computer, and then you can't find it ever anywhere else. And forgiven people attract the glory of God. For it's written that he will pour out the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, those who are mercifully delivered from their past error. And here, vessels of mercy, as it's indicating the Micah mandate, that the only thing he asks of us is to walk humbly with him, to do justly, and to love mercy. Because people who love mercy, they first of all understand that they need it, that they have received it, and that it saved them. It delivered them from even that torment and that torture of guilt and of shame and of separation. They needed that mercy. Like King David needed the mercies of God so that he would not be not only not king anymore, but be to die. Now, the mercies of God, than that, he allowed him his life, but more than that, he then gave a covenant agreement on his life. You will always, always have a descendant on the throne of Israel, always. And so we thank God for these mercies, that we should be vessels of mercy. We're just nothing left in you but mercy. Then you are going to be humble. You're going to be faithful. You're going to be grateful. You're going to be loving. You're going to have joy. If nothing is left, a vessel of mercy. Only thing in you is a heart that has acknowledged the mercy and the sure, I love it when he said, the sure mercy of God. Claim the scriptures that promise forgiveness for they are for us. Right? PowerPoint number 5. It says, now, therefore, arise. Yes.
Before you go, did you say observation on number 4 before you go into number 5? When I looked at the scripture on that one, I mean, just that verse that they list, hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. And I had to read it a couple times because it sounded really weird. But the fact that God is hearing from the people in his house, which means the church. Like I said, it took me a couple times to figure out that was actually what he meant. But to me, that also indicates that he knows, and we should know, that as the people of God, you know, kingdom-minded people, we are still actively sinning and need God's forgiveness. So he's asking him, you know, when you hear your people, you know, in your house, a house that they've dedicated for his name, you know, hear and forgive. And you know, I guess like in the day-to-day boots on the ground church, sometimes I don't see mercy, and maybe sometimes I'm not quite as merciful as I should be, because I think that sometimes we can get jaded after being in ministry a long time and just living. There's some things you think, oh, people need to know better. I know this person knows better. And we really don't give them that benefit of the doubt. We really don't give them that mercy, because it just seems so apparent and blatant that they're just being disrespectful or disregarding stuff that we feel that they know. And in some cases, I think maybe they do know, but the issue is we have to take ourselves out of the position of being judge and jury, you know, and let God make the decision, you know, because we can't forgive. I mean, obviously you can forgive somebody in the natural, you know, on a person-to-person basis. But to be forgiving somebody eternally, that we have to remind ourselves that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord. And so I think that is something that I know that I need to look at in a different kind of light, just being more merciful. You know, because sometimes it's just like, well, just forget it. You know what I mean? It's not so much that you do something maliciously to hurt somebody, but it's just, I'm not doing anything to go out of my way to show that I'm being merciful. Like, you know, like being that one to come over and say, okay, you know, come on in. Kind of like the whole welcoming them in, you know. We kind of just go along. We have that herd mentality that if this particular group or this particular behavior or lifestyle is not pleasing to us and very well may be not pleasing to God, then we take it upon ourselves to be that final decision maker, as opposed to understanding we all have to come the same way. And he was merciful to us. And so we need to be merciful to others. And I think we need to remind ourselves, well, I keep saying I need to remind myself on a regular basis, even with the little micro kind of aggressions of people panhandling on the street. You know, like some days it's like, I feel like it, some days I don't. You know, some days I feel moved and some days I don't. You know, I'm going to have to go back and check myself, like, well, why one way or the other? You know, and I'm not trying to make any kind of a judgment call on what people need to be doing, but I think we need to be looking at ourselves, the Holy Spirit, to challenge and convict us in those areas where we withhold our mercy and our kindness on folks that don't necessarily line up with what we feel is the proper thing to do, you know, because we have to remember that we were also outside. You know, maybe our transgressions don't look as egregious to the outside person, but to God who knows our heart, it doesn't matter, you know, that all sin is a reproach, you know, and a stench in his nostrils. So what I'm doing may not look as bad as somebody else, But, you know, sin is sin, and I think we have to be mindful not to, to make those judgment calls on folks and truly be merciful. And just the fact that that scripture says, when you hear it from your house, when you, excuse me, when you hear it from your dwelling place, which is telling us that we need to, we need to repent, you know, in the house of God, we need to repent, you know. There is a song where the guy says, I'm going to give you more than a song, because a song is not the what you require. Like, Lord, forgive me for making this something else. And I think sometimes we don't even realize we turn our worship and just our whole church life sometimes into something else. And it really doesn't look like the church of God that's reflected in the Bible, you know, that, and it's a slow, it's a slow transition sometimes away from what the word says. You know, it's not like a big turn. You know, we don't even really realize it until sometimes, to me, that we do some things like you read some of these authors that, you know, the Holy Spirit has inspired, and it kind of makes you look like, oh, you know what, when I really, really think about it, I might not be as good as I think I am. I might not be doing as well as I think I am, because there is always something. But I think our natural tendency, and I'm going to shut up, I think our natural tendency is to judge ourselves against others and not against the Word. You know, that we look and see, well, hey, I ain't doing this, I ain't doing that, but Lord, I've been delivered from this. You know, Lord, I ain't never did that, and I won't do this. But, it, you know, it's all in the same pot. And I think that, you know, we need to be, excuse me, mindful of that.
Amen. And, I realize as well that this is really parallel to the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. He said, he asked for forgiveness as he forgives others who transgress against him. And that's oftentimes the people that we just feel they've offended us because of who they are, what they've done, or what we thought about them, or what we had judged. And it's in line also with what we studied and shared last night, how being accountable, but knowing what your accountable standard of your accountability is the Word of God, and not the behavior of others, is not the thing that we're trying to make everybody do the same thing. We're trying to encourage everyone to be like Christ, which is totally different. And so sharing the truth, he says, those who are mercifully delivered from their past error. And so as you shared, you know, we have been mercifully delivered, and yet we don't want to mercifully deliver others. We don't want to become that intercessor for others, and we don't want to be that love covering for others, because that's what it is going to take. And so he says here to claim the scriptures that promise forgiveness. And so that's something that we really, really should look into. Look at all of this, type in scriptures on forgiveness and read some of the things that it is requiring and what it is going to look like. And we could realize, I think, on a lot of, because part of that forgiveness also comes deliverance. And that deliverance is what is salvation. So he said we should be clothed with salvation. That means we should be clothed with deliverance. We should be clothed with that righteousness that has come because we have loved mercy. And we've been then become vessels, and then we receive the rich glory of God on our life. That means they don't see us anymore. They see him and how he interacts with his creation. Anybody else before we go to
God? It brought me back to our 21st sexual relational healing retreat, when you all had all the boards with forgiven on it, and it said forgiven is to cancel a debt, and sin was in parentheses, by giving up the right to hurt back and trusting God as the best justice maker to bring that person to repentance. And then it said, remember, revenge will not get you to restoration. And it was that whole retreat was only forgiven, but that you all had those posters all over the retreat. And it just, every time I read, in fact, last week I had to go to read that, and it sits in my one of my bedroom, but it just, I put it up so I can remember, and then work with every word that goes in that scripture. So I just wanted to, you know, read that again.
Man. Amen. Excellent. Excellent.
Amen. Overseer, I wanted to go back with what Elder Deborah brought out and what Solomon, when the dwelling place and where you really meet God. I know that the angel came to Solomon in a dream. And I know I do a lot of dreaming and have visions. And when I see difficult people or people doing different things, I look at Jesus and I hear him say, do you believe what they're doing? Because that's when I was trying to explain it last night also, because Jesus say, if you believe and trust me, I die for all sin. So that's when I stopped judging people, because I was saying, I know I believe that he died for sin. So why am I seeing this? And, you know, we always form opinion and we start thinking about another person. And then the Holy Spirit say, I'm not concerned about your thinking. You know, God talked to you when you listen to him. To me, it sounds just like we talking now. But he's so quiet, and sometimes he called my name. Diane, why are you thinking that? That's not what I said. So this is why it's so important to come together, and we're learning God's way of doing things. This is what I'm getting from learning these pointers. We're going to the fifth point. But each pointer is showing us how we can trust God. And then when we hear his voice, we're going to know, because it's going to go back to what the pointer was, what he's bringing out. I want you to know me. I believe the prophet said the other day that he was making my head. He was putting my head, my heart, and my hands in place. So when I look at it, what I hear, my head first, and knowing that what I hear in my head, I want it to be from the Holy Spirit. So when whether we visualizing something, whether we dreaming, or if we actually in the midst of something that's going on, and there's a lot going on, I tell people to pay attention to God, not exactly what, the people coming together, that's a blessing, diversity coming together, but pay attention to what God is saying, what he said in his word, what he's doing today in our life, and we'll see the movement of God is exactly according to what his word is saying. So I was just looking at that point, and when you guys got on forgiveness, nobody going to forget that retreat. I think it was in 2010 when I remember. So if we don't forgive others, then our Father in heaven, he can't forgive us. So we know that's a must, because our bodies, I always say the body is only $1.30 with the dirt. And once we realize that we're going back to the dirt, a dust from which we come from, we won't think we're more than other people. So I was just looking at, you know, I study and I read and Solomon, wise as he was, I know we can all fall if we're not paying attention to God. And that's why I say sometimes we have to stay focused on, we can't do nothing. Only thing we can do is trust in God. And when you know you're not being led, guided, and directed by the Holy Spirit, your spirit will let you know we're off track. So I'm just saying this with these prayers. And one other thing, amen, even in our prayers, when we're praying, because I'm learning this too, when I'm praying, I got to learn to trust and believe God what I'm praying for. He's saying, you can't even pray without me. So in every situation, once I bring it to God, cast all my cares on him, then he wants me to trust and believe that he heard me and he'll do it. He wants to, you know, we have to keep going back continuously because this is the way we were made. But God heard us the first time. And I just love when I'm going through this, enjoying this journey, because when we know that he's God, Jehovah Shammah, he's everywhere. Now we know he's El Rey and El Rai. We know he's here from the first time. So I just believe and thank God that I'm learning that really trust in God. I thought I trusted in God, but now I'm learning that what I thought didn't matter. So yeah. when you get that relationship, that you can walk in it, and that's what I'm learning from these prayers and also even the books, as you say, everything's going together. Everything, the classes that we're taking, the journey, it's like it's all coming together in one piece, one part. So I just thank
Amen.
God for us coming together and learning from one another and trusting him that he knows.
Sometimes it takes Amen. Time for you to think about what you did before you can forgive.
Amen.
Just take time and sometimes figure it out and take time before you can forgive. You forgive too fast, you're not really forgiving.
Amen.
And if you keep bringing it up, you ain't forgiving.
That's right, and you're absolutely right. And I think a lot of times we really don't believe for forgiveness. We really don't. Because if you truly believe, you would want it for everybody. My God.
This is Sister Dolores. Let me let you finish your sentence. I apologize. Continue, please.
No problem. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
This is Sister Dolores, I guess, is the appropriate way to announce myself. I have a question. I'm working on forgiving myself with God and a lot of external counseling and everything that I would need to, you know, stay present in the moment and continue to do what I'm doing. If I have a conversation with someone that I love or care about, and it's not one particular person, it's several people, even if they don't directly say something, is it safe to assume that because of my past, is it safe to assume that maybe there's hold on, I'm outside, so I gotta turn around and cover my face. Is it safe? I guess I get angry when it seems like several people are angry or make implications or rationalizations, or they just gather a group of things that has happened in my past, and although they don't say it directly, it's hard for me to process. I don't even know if I'm making my question. Okay, so I'll say this.
Okay.
I'm in the process of getting divorced from my husband. It was on and off relationship for 12 years, but a marriage for 4 years, and it was physical and sometimes psychological abuse. Now, while I was in the marriage, I projected on the outward that it was a very good marriage. He is an ordained minister on paper. And sometimes I feel like, I could be wrong, but sometimes I feel like certain people in my family make me feel, or try to, no one can make me feel anything. Certain people try to bring up certain things that happened while I was in this domestic violence relationship, and while I portrayed this ordained minister as, oh, I'm going to be a first lady, and they don't, it seems like I can't get the same forgiveness that they might have had. You know, whether the abuse in the relationship was different or not, it just really seems, maybe it's me all in my head, but it just really seems that I am suffering with my family from certain areas of things I did in my past. Because I've always lied, I've always manipulated, but as of recently, I've tried my best to come away from that. It still happens. Okay, I'm going to bring it to end. It still happens, but I'm able to catch it when it happens, and I try my best to repair it or to fix it. And it's just like a lifelong thing that I've been doing as far as manipulating and lying. And, you know, I am in the process of allowing God and a lot of other things to tear that away from me, to tear all those layers away from me. However, it seems like some people on my paternal and my maternal side of the family just use my past against me and use it to inflict pain. Now I'm wondering, is that something internal in my mind, or is that possibly, could that be happening?
Okay, you know, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love your transparency. I'm going to share this with you, and then I'm going to give Apostle KP, I believe, is on the line, and I know that's an area that is she has a passion for. But there's two things that you said that has to change. I shared it earlier, and I didn't even know why I did, but bad company will destroy good morals. And it really matters who is around you. It really matters. I know someone probably put their phone on mute because of the background noise. The enemy doesn't want you to know. The enemy doesn't want you to hear. The enemy doesn't want you to be free, but you're going to get free. And I believe that because I believe God. And I know he freed me, and that's what he does. But the first thing is you have to surround yourself with people. Remember I said Solomon was influenced by the word of God lived out to the children of Israel as they celebrated their feast days and the different things that they honored God with. You have to surround yourself with people who believe the word of God, not judging, people that love. Love covers a multitude of sin. And unless you get it in an environment where you can be covered by that, whether it's in your church or you have to find, and God will show you. He will lead you to the place you need to be in. It's never going to look like the place we want to be in, but it will be the place we need to be in. And then the next thing is you must be in the word. What did God say? Stop listening. Ask the Lord to anoint your ears to only hear what he has said. And only to hear what he has said, even when he uses people to speak with you. Because they can say a lot of things. But only allow your ears to hear. And you, this is your constant prayer. Let me hear what you're saying, God, to my soul. Now, you'll know he's saying it only if you've been in his word. Because what he is going to speak to your spirit, he has already spoken in his word. And it will only bring affirmation to you. And that's the place where you have to stand in faith. And then no matter what comes, remember you have to put on the whole armor. So all of these are weapons of your warfare, and they're also ways that the Lord has given you to overcome what's going to come to you. It's going to come. People are not going to believe. People are going to lie. People are going to do all those things that they're doing. They're going to bring up your past. And it may be true, but not if you know that your sins, remember, he blotted them out. But it doesn't exist to God. I don't care if the whole world believes they do. The one who made the world has blotted them out. And that's where you stand. You stand in this faith. This is when your small faith will become greater faith. This is where that seed of that mustard seed is powerful. But it also grows. And so we're given a little faith, and then we can go to much faith. And as you endure persecution, read the scripture in the Beatitudes, be sure you're going to be persecuted. But your response to persecution cannot be the response the world says is available to you. Your response has to be what God said you must do, regardless of whatever happens in whatever relationship you have. But what God says your response is to be, that is what your response to be. Now, like I said, I'm going to give it over to Apostle KP. This morning, I know I'm calling upon you, you know, but that's what happens on the Friday Fellowship.
Amen.
Alert. Amen.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Amen. I think that the subject matter stirred up something in our sister as far as mercy is concerned. And we have this innate mindset that our responsibility is to
for God to show mercy the way to whom we think he should show mercy to. And so those of us, especially who's gone through domestic violence, we feel like we've been injusted, some injustice has taken place, and that there should be no mercy to those who have offended us. And so now God is trying to, in her walk, she says that God is renewing her mind. He's trying to now reset you from somebody who abused you. He's trying to reset your mindset and your thinking from going through abuse. And so you're trying to prove to other people that you've changed. But the word of God says, let your light so shine before men that they'll glorify the Father in heaven. You have to now walk this thing out. Don't try to get people to see you as this changed person. Just walk it out. Allow God to use you as a light. A light does not, a light does not make itself known. It does not give an announcement that I am light and I am coming on. It doesn't do that. It's just light. When you flick it on, it's there. And you're going to have to allow God, my sister, to allow God to let you be that light so that people can begin to see the change in you. Allow God to begin to heal all of those wounded places in you. You know, all of the people who didn't believe you when you told them that you were going through domestic violence because of a title that was put on the world. All of those things, God is now trying to bring you to a light and bring you to a place of allowing him to heal you. Remember, people believing you or not believing you when you've gone through domestic violence, that's neither here nor there. God saw what you were going through. And now it's imperative for you to allow God to go through the healing process, that as people see your life, as people see you allowing God to heal those wounded areas, don't try to verbally attack the person. See, because then you're trying to do God's job. And we cannot, those of us who've gone through domestic violence, I feel you. I know where you are. But now you've got to allow God. Don't try to defend yourself. Don't try to be your own defense attorney. Allow God to defend you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And he may not repay it in the way you think, because mercy is going to step into you, and you're going to begin to start asking God to have mercy on him. I know what he did to me, God, but my desire now, because I understand the depth of the forgiveness you forgave me, I want that same depth of forgiveness to be shown towards him. But you've got to allow God, my sister, you've got to allow God to go into the inner and the deeper places of your life and begin to start healing you. And the way that you're doing it is starting confessing who you are in Christ. You've got an identity crisis going on, my sister. And now you've got to identify Christ in your life. You've got to begin to speak who God says you are. It doesn't matter the sister who was going through abuse, that's not the issue. Now allow God to identify himself in you and all of those wounded places. And he'll begin to bring that healing process that you need in your life to just begin to shine on him. So I would love to get your name and number at some point so that we can talk one-on-one. I would love to talk with you and walk with you. You're in the right place because you said you're going through some counseling. You're getting some counseling done. That's wonderful. But I would love to walk with you through your process so that the healing virtue of God can begin to heal you in the areas that you've got blocked off. Because you've got areas of your life that you've got blocked off, and you're not allowing God to come in to bring the healing that you need because you feel like you justified in feeling the way you feel.
Yes.
Justified. And so I just want to encourage you, get a name to me some kind of a way, overseer, so that we can, further talk. I'm not going to try to counsel you. I just want to walk with you.
Amen. And I have her name. I got her information. And as long as she says it's okay, I will give it to you. I would like for Elder Roberta, I know you're on the line. I pray that you're available to just be prayer for her now. We're going to pray.
Yes.
What's her name?
Dolores.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, bringing Dolores to you, Father God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray over her mind even now, Father God. We pray the peace of you, Father God, over her mind, Father God. Father God, we pray that you will fill her with your joy, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And then, Father God, we ask even now that you would let your word that has been sown in her life, Father God, begin to rise up, Father God, and heal her, Father God, in all of those wounded places, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, even now, heal her wounded heart, Father God. We pray even now, Father God, that you would circumcise her heart, circumcise her mind, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Master, even now as we pray, I ask that you dispatch ministering angels all around her, even now, Father God, to minister unto her, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we speak encouragement unto her even now as she began, Father God, to continue to walk upright before you, Father God, as she began to pour out her heart unto you, Father God, as she began, Father God, to forgive those, Father God, that she feel has wounded her, has wronged her, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, you said, if we don't forgive, Father God, that you won't forgive us. So, Father God, even now, tenderize her heart, circumcise her heart, and begin, Father God, to let her cry out to you, Father God, forgiving each individual, Father God, that she feel has wronged her, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, as she begins, Father God, to call those names before you, Father God, speaking forgiveness, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that she will feel a break in her spirit, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, even now, let her know that you love her, Father God. Let her know that you've forgiven her, Father God, and let her begin to walk in that forgiveness, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Let her know that she doesn't have to hold on, Father God, to those things, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you said to cast her cares up on you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you said in your word for her to cast her burden up on you, Father God, that you would carry it, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we speak encouragement even now until we speak peace, Father God. We speak your joy into her life even now, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we speak restoration to her, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we speak strength even now. In the name of Jesus, we speak encouragement on her today, Father God. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you even now. And for what you're, and what you're going to do in her life, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Father, for we praise God. We just worship and praise and thank God for the Friday Fellowship of Learners. It is for such a time as this that we are together the way we are together. He has brought us in a place because he has a purpose for us, and we thank him for just including us in his plan for this earth realm, for this period, for this time, for this space that we walk in, okay? So we thank him for that. We thank you all for sharing with us on this Friday fellowship. We have not passed point number four, but that's okay. How long it takes is how long it'll be. And it is just constantly building powerfulness in our spirit. It is empowering us with some truths that will be released in the earth realm to bring about supernatural results. We need to see this. We need to see the supernatural results of our coming together. Why are you on the phone, Eva? What drew you here other than the word of God and the desire in your heart to be obedient? And we thank you for being obedient and sharing and being a part of the fellowship But it has a purpose. It has a divine purpose. We don't do this for ourselves. We do this for God and his kingdom. And so we praise him for your presence. We'll start with point number 5. Sister Arnett, I will see how I can just give you the summary page of each prayer
point.
Because it comes with many points that we are to observe and to incorporate and disciple in our lives. And so we'll see if we can just get that summary page to you. But the book is worth the money. It definitely is a resource that you will make reference many, 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 many times. It'll more than pay for itself. So I do encourage you, if at all possible, to get the book because it is a gem. I've written so much in this book, I can't hardly read what the writing is. Because I got the highlights and circles and in the margin, just everywhere. Because it's the Holy Spirit will bring so much truth together. And so when you read one thing, he'll go through all of what you studied and he'll bring it together and show you, like, this is it. He's connecting the dots. He's showing you the path to the power.
Yeah.
And that's we are on a path with some supernatural power to manifest itself, manifest through the mantle that's upon everybody in this class. And so we thank God for that. Any insight, concern, inspiration?
I want to ask you a question. When you were speaking earlier, when you were speaking about, like, the change that we will go through, what you were saying, I thought about the scripture, he who's forgiven much loves much. So I just had that question. And I know that I had to deal with something after I got off the phone with you all, and my whole night was like that, and I was concerned about my health and my well-being. Not that somebody was going to harm me, but I was concerned about going to the hospital. So my response to what I was with here and the people, it was not forgiveness because I wanted to rest, and I was concerned about my well-being. And, I mean, I had been repenting in here, but because my place is not private, even if I'm repenting and I'm talking to God, just me and him talking out loud, it's like I got to be a mute in my own house. And I felt retaliatory, and I felt that had I opened up even more, even though you gave the floor open on last night, I think I would have fared even better up against.
Okay, Minister, Sister Arnett, I believe that part of the things that everything I said about changes as you're going through it, you do have to surround yourself with those that are like-minded in the spirit. And so I do want to encourage you to remember that we're going to have warfare all around us, but you have to remember and believe in the Word of God. So I encourage you to read our May prayer and declaration. Read it, and then read our June prayer and declaration, because it will cover your household. It will cover you. It will cover your household. The prophet has delivered a message from heaven, and the reason we get messages from heaven is because God knows what's around us and ahead for us, and he is giving us a word to stand on in faith, believing. So get your May prayer and declaration and your June prayer and declaration. If you didn't get it on the computer, they sent it out in monthly opportunities, but we'll also have them in your packets on Sunday. And they'll go out into the different packages on Sunday that are delivered to the community for various reasons. And so when you get it, declare it every day. And every time the enemy fights to war against you, war back with the Word of God. With the Word of God. Take your declaration, believe it, and stand on it. And where your faith may waver, pray that God will strengthen your unbelief and give you that around you that will help to upgird you. We don't do it alone. We are linked together. And if one can put 1,000 and two, 10,000, I think you'll pretty much be covered with labels for Christ because you have to.
Okay, thank you.
On your behalf, okay? We thank God
overseer.
For you and for him.
Overseer.
Yes,
no, go ahead and finish.
I don't want to take too much time. But I relate to what you're saying and piggyback on what you're saying. I'm a domestic violence and all, and addiction and all that. But as long as I was around those people who thought like I thought, who kept me in bondage, that was my reference point. But once I gave my life to Christ and I started being around like-minded people, my thought patterns started to change. Then I had to understand, too, that Jesus forgave the priest. They didn't forgive him. So he acted under his forgiveness. That makes sense. They didn't forgive him, but he forgave them for all the wrongs that they had done. And once I started forgiving, he gave me grace. I started forgiving other people, and whether they forgive me or not, that's on them. But I live in the light now, and they're the same people they used to be. And if I understand, he gave us grace and mercy. See, mercy was, I don't get what I was supposed to get, hallelujah. And grace is that he's giving me something else. So whatever they think, feel, and believe, it's not about them anymore. It's about the love that Jesus has imparted in me. And the love that I get from being around like-minded people, hallelujah, that tell me I'm worthy and loving. Because, see, we don't live like we used to live when we let go and surrender with him. And like Apostle said, I thought it was going to be like I wanted to be. Lo and behold, did I get a surprise. God is just awesome. If I surrender and give it to him, the world, but just understand, the priest didn't forgive Jesus. Jesus forgave them. Even when they put him, beat him and whooped him, he still gave them forgiveness. And that's all I have to say.
Amen, amen, amen. The testimony doesn't
say. I just wanted to offer a word of encouragement to the sister that people will judge, but they are not the judge. Our judge is God the Father, and he has said in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the condemnation of the people, those are fiery darts. He's already given you your shield of faith so that you can let those bounce off. But he is telling us in his word, and you just have to stand on his word, there is no condemnation that you have been forgiven. Now, you know, we work on having to forgive ourselves because a lot of times that's where there is a problem, that we need to forgive ourselves. But God has forgiven you, my sister.
Amen.
Evangelist Novella?
I'm just thinking sometimes people are not where you are at right then. And you have to, when they say something, they're not quite where you at. And so, but they'll get there. So sometimes you just have to say, well, they'll get there in a minute, you know. Don't get mad.
Amen. They'll get there in a minute. Don't get mad. Amen. Because you
Amen.
Know what they're praying for there. Amen.
Right.
That's the bottom line. Just like he got you there, you get them there. Hallelujah. That's word of wisdom. There you go. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? This is just a glorious time. Yes.
Overseer, that's what the counseling course is teaching us. You know, that we're all at different levels. But we have those that are strong bearing the infirmities of the weak. We must also continue to let our light shine, as Apostle KP was saying, and we don't have to make our light shine. See, when you let your light shine, people will see where you are at, And that's when I go with the scripture, try the spirit, whether it be of God or not, because then we will connect as one unit. And that faith comes in because we have to have bearings that we would take the time with our people, a family. I like to stay with the family because, you know, there are some people in your own family that you have to really, really pray and just let your light shine and keep your mouth closed, you know, because once you start talking back to them devils and they find any weak spot on you, they're going to attack. So sometimes we have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then I learned that you don't worry about what people think. When you start thinking negative, I learned to say my thoughts is what I wanted to please God with. So when you know about your thoughts, you don't really know about what people are thinking. You're going by behavior and justice. But to see an individual's heart and what their true thoughts are, you know, we leave that to God. And then I know what I'm thinking. If I'm thinking, you know, negative, I know. So I said, Lord, clean my heart and let me walk right before your people. And I guess I'm growing older because I just want to see Jesus. That's the light I'm following. And he showed me the other day, broad is the road to destruction, but they in darkness. Then he gave me this vision that narrow was this road following him, but it's all lit up. And I couldn't do nothing but laugh. And that's why sometimes I'm thinking and having vision, but God will show you, you know, he reveals things to you in visions and dreams, and you can't do nothing but just tell the Lord thank you. But this is what he wants. We all come together as that light. And everybody that's in darkness, if they want to come over to the light, they'll see the light. And we don't have to go beat them up with the Bible and, you know, all them old techniques that used to been given to us where you had to fear, but it worked. You had fear of the Lord, so you obeyed. So, you know, God is coming with his way, and that's love and kindness have I drawn thee. So I just thank the Lord again for coming this way, but I thank God. We talked about grace and mercy. It's, except for grace, there goes that. We all have sinned and came short of the glory. But now when we know better, we do better. And I just love it.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to have to change our time to an hour and a half.
No, I'm waiting when we can come together at the church. I was like, ooh, when we can meet up together and see one another and be in. All right.
Amen. That's yes, all right. Lord. So when it's good. Not gonna rush. So we just thank God and thank you for your patience and your input. Anybody else? Anything else before we invite you to come to service Sunday to our church anniversary at our new place, the church dedication. And we see how Solomon dedicated the church when he the temple, when he built it. And so we want to release that kind of anointing in the service this Sunday. Because this is the first time we will be acknowledging an anniversary at our new building and our new home. And it is such a glorious, glorious honor and privilege. And we want to sanctify it. Hallow. Those are hallow grounds because God puts his name there. And he will hear and answer and forgive. And so we want to be the people who have been called by his name, that people who have humbled themselves, that people who have prayed and seek his faith and turn to his way of holiness and righteousness and love in the earth realm so that he can hear and heal the environment and the area of our influence and of our purpose in the place that he has planted us in. So we thank you. We encourage you to come out and share. We'll be doing our prayer drive on Sunday through the community. just spreading joy to the of the Lord in the streets around the church, inviting people to a relationship with God and to a time of just those that know Him giving the opportunity to praise Him. Some don't have that on Sundays anymore, but just coming together in social distancing and rejoicing in the Lord, because even though some people can start assembling, the assembly is going to be very difficult. There's a lot of things that have to be attended to, a lot of details that are very, very, very important, and as well as a lot of mindsets that people are in fear, people are concerned, people don't have a confidence in things. So there's just a lot of things that have to transpire probably before we will come together as we did in days of old. However, it's only given us an opportunity to come out of the four walls and do a worship and a time of reverence and celebration that is creative and innovative and inclusive of everybody. It's a unity of hope of believers, no matter what your denomination, no matter what the building is that you worship in. This is a unity of hope of believers coming together for the kingdom of God coming on earth as it is in heaven. You know, in heaven, they all together all the time, having a party all the time, having a grand celebration. There is music, there is dances, there is joy and rejoicing, there is riches, there is this awesome, awesome celebration. And we want to get that mind down here too. So I thank God for you. I encourage you and invite you to come share with us and to enjoy your ministry worship as well. So if there be nothing else, we are on point number 5. We will start next week. Point number
Who's on
five,
the L?
Pardon?
No, they're next.
They can mute.
I'm
Who's
sorry?
Ever on the L?
I think that's the call.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Amen. So actually, we're gonna mute. We're gonna hang up, and we just thank you all. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.
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 See you next Friday.
Next Friday.
Bless.
9 o'clock. Fellowship alert.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.